Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
It's been a long middle. We've been at this series for quite a bit, but that's been intentional. You know, the middle has all these uncertainties, these unknowns, these things that we've got to figure out. It's a time for growth. And so this series was very intentionally long in the middle, but it started with an ending. It started at a place where something changed, something happened, whether it was our choice or whether it was done to us, and something had to come to an end, something had to come to a close. And then we get in this process in the middle we just try to figure it out. We try to, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? And it's this transitional period that we really got to get to a point to where we're ready to choose. We have to get to a point to decide on our own, what kind of eggs do we really like? Because if we're always choosing what everybody else wants us to choose, if we're always choosing what everybody else decides for us, we're never going to transition out of the middle. We're always going to stay right there. But at some point, we got to decide that it's time for us to move on. It's time for us to pick up our bags. It's time for us to decide what kind of egg we really like and choose to change. And so this morning, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about when it's time to transition, when it's time to start a new beginning, it's time for us to choose. Because until you're willing to choose, and until you're willing to change, until you're willing to make the final transition into the new beginning, you're going to stay stuck in the middle, or you're going to go back to where you once were. And neither of those or a choice that we really want to make. And so we're going to look at the nation of Israel once again. We've kind of stuck with them because they're so such an example of this change and transition and stuck in the middle. And at some point, they decide to choose. And this morning, that's where we're at this morning. We're finding at the end of Joshua's life, his time is coming to a close, and he gathers all of the nation of Israel together. In Joshua chapter 23, we're not going to cover that, but I put it on the screen because I challenge you to go back and read Joshua chapter 23. He brings all of the leaders of the nation of Israel together, and he does this very same thing that we're going to see in chapter 24, just with the leaders. And I think if we look at the big picture, when it comes to leaders, we sometimes need to lead through the transition into the new beginning. As a husband, we need to lead our wife, our family, through the transition into a new beginning. We've got to be the one that's encouraging. We've got to be the one that is deciding. We've got to be the one that's changing. And maybe it's the wife that does this. But as a team, we lead through the new beginning. And so then we bring others on board with us. And so we'll figure this out this morning as we go. We'll begin with this. When it comes to a new beginning, you're going to summarize your past. When it comes to a new beginning, you're going to summarize. You're not going to spend a lot of time on this. You're not going to dwell in the past. The more you dwell in the past, the more. How many of you have ever heard the term, man, I wish for the good old days? How good were they really? I mean, honestly, how good were they really? I wish I could go back. No, if you really sit down and think about it, a lot of times we don't wish we could go back. You just want to remember the highlights. Because that's the summary. And in those highlights, in those moments, in those grand moments, those are the things that you want to remember to propel you forward. And so Joshua's going to summarize the past. In fact, we're not going to read all this, but in the first 13 verses, Joshua's going to go from Abraham to where they're at. And you think, well, that's a lot of verses. Actually, it's not. He's not getting into any of the details. He says Abraham was called. They went into captivity. They were led out of captivity by God's power. He did all these miraculous things, and here we are today. And that's the first 13 verses of Joshua chapter 24. But there's something to be said about when we summarize the past. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 13, he says, "So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, cities you did not build. You live in those cities, and you eat from the vineyards and the olive groves that you did not plant." And when we summarize the past and we look at the highlights and we realize where we're at, there's such a peace that comes over us to know that we're right where we need to be. When we dwell in the past, we get into this what-if game of the middle. When we look back and we long for what's back there, we get in all these other things. But when we just summarize the past and we realize where we are is where we need to be, there is a peace that comes over us that you can't explain. You know that your experiences have brought you to this point because there's something greater ahead of you. And we just simply summarize it. When you hit the highlights and not the details, there's no longing to return. There's no draw to go back. There's no desire to relive what once was. It's over. And if you use it in the right way, it will strengthen you and propel you forward. When it comes to your situation, it's no different. You might have not chose the transition that you're in, but you're here regardless. And if you look at the highlights of your past and realize that there are parts and pieces of your past that will help you in this present situation, it will move you forward. It will propel you to go to the next step. It will propel you into the new beginning. And so this is where we're at this morning. We just simply summarize the past. Not knowing everything from the past will work in your present reality. There are things that you learned in the past. How many of you will look at it in your past and go, there's things back there that I don't need to carry forward with me? Anybody with me? There are things in my past that I don't need in the future. They were just there. They were for a season. They were for a time. But I don't need to carry those forward, and we need to unhitch those. In fact, years ago, I was sitting in a class, and the guy that was teaching brought in a wagon, and it had all these things in the wagon, all these little words in the wagon, and he's carrying them in. I'm thinking, that's the stupidest thing I've ever saw. And then he started unpacking the wagon. And how many of us are held back because of what we're carrying in the wagon that we think we're going to need in the future? We just got to unhitch ourselves from the wagon and find the freedom in what God has in store for us in this new beginning. Well, not only do we summarize the past, but we must be prepared and be present in this reality. You know, when you think about what does it mean to be present? How many of you have ever been in a conversation and you've zoned out? Like, I have a 5-year-old little granddaughter, and we'll be sitting at the table and we'll ask her, how was your day today? And she'll be like, Hallie, what'd you do today? Hallie, would you like a cookie? Yes. I mean, it's literally like that. She's just zoned out. She's there physically, but she is not there mentally, and she's not there emotionally. She's not present. And so much of our life, we are not present for what's going on in reality. We're inundated with the things of work. We're inundated with the things of this morning. We're inundated with the things of what's going on tomorrow. We're inundated with everything, and we miss the moment. In fact, as we get older, if you're a grandparent, you understand this. How many of you, as you get older and you become grandparents, you start cherishing the moment because you realize that it's going to fade away and it's gone. You stop looking for the next step. You stop looking for the next word. You stop looking for the next, and you just fill in the blank, and you start just living for the present time. You start living for what is right here, right now. And you can't live in the past and move to the future. It's all you're ever going to do is live in the past. You'll never move into the future. You have to get rid of what is weighing you down. And Joshua does this in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 21. He's talking to all the people again. And I'm just going to summarize this. He goes through a bunch of different things, and he comes to this conclusion. He says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Get rid of all of the idols, all of the false gods, all of the things from your past that are weighing you down. He says, take in all that's going on around you. Gather in that information and make memories. Pay attention to what everything is going on around you. Gather in that information and make memories. A few weeks ago, first part of the summer, we decided our house was kind of on hold. We had something that the girls could really love to do this summer. And so we said, you know, we're not going to have that for the summer. So let's get the girls one of those little 10-foot blow-up pools. Everybody ever got one of those? You know, they're just very small, 10-foot diameter. It's about 2 feet deep. And so the first day we got in there, I got 3 granddaughters. First day we got in there, they were just really cautious. You know, in fact, Fafa, the youngest, she's 2, you know, she would just stand there like this. None of them would go under the water. They all would just kind of, you know, they would play but not play. And so it's been interesting over the last few weeks, this last week, first part of the week, Macy, the middle one, is really getting bold, and she's really not the bold one on a normal basis. It's usually Fafa. She just tries crazy things and just goes nuts. But Macy, out of the blue, they have goggles, but they don't fit, and they tore them up, and so stopped buying those. And so Macy, all of a sudden, she sticks her head under the water, and she pops up, and she goes, "I did it." "I don't know, what'd you do?" "I went under the water." You know, of course, the back of her head's not under the water. And so I'm like, "Yeah, that's awesome, that's awesome." And directly she does it again, and she goes under. She goes under further, and she pops up, and all of a sudden Fafa's like, "Oh, that looks like fun." So she goes under the water. And Hallie is still a little frightened of this, and so she's like off in the side. She's not paying attention. And so all of a sudden Macy goes under the water, and she walks across the pool under the water. Now to her, that's swimming. But she walks across the pool under the water, and she pops up on the other side, and she goes, "I did it." Now, I say this not to point fingers, but her parents were outside, and Nana was outside the pool, and they were all doing things, different things. They had no clue what she did. And it's not to pick on them, but you got to be present to experience what's going on around you. I mean, realize this summer, there's all kinds of stories now. In fact, if you're on Facebook, you see at least once a week, the authorities are saying, parents, put down your phones around the pools, around the water. That's a horrible thing. But I would just say this. It's not just our phones that distract us. It's everything in this world that distracts us. I would say just put down whatever you're doing and be present for what's going on around you. For me, I was in the pool with the girls when all this took place, and so it's this grand memory of how this happened. I could go back a few years ago. We had some friends that had a built-in pool, and my daughter, the granddaughter's mom, Ashley, the first day in this pool, she wouldn't even get in the water. Like, she would just run around the edges. She had all the life-saving equipment on that you could think of. She looked like the Michelin Man. She had those big, fluffy blow up things on your arm. She had two of those because one wasn't enough. She had one on both parts of her arm. She had two or three donuts on, and she would just run around the pool. I mean, she did this for a couple of weeks. She just would never get in the pool. And then one day she got enough off, and she put a foot in, you know, and her foot got wet, and just different things. And then I remember the first time she jumped in, we had to rescue her because she had so many things on, she turned upside down. I mean, it's just one of those things. But then by the end of the year, she had none of the life-saving things on, and she was jumping into the pool like it is second nature. But if you're so preoccupied with everything else that's going on, if you're so preoccupied with your past, if you're so preoccupied with everything that weighs you down, you're not present for what's going on, and that's what we need to be. We need to be present in this moment. You need to know what's going on around you. You need to gather in that information, and you need to make memories of this moment in this time. Be present. Joshua says, and summarized in verses 16 through 21, "We have seen and experienced and been present the power and the faithfulness of the Lord, and we will serve him." That's what the people reply to Joshua. We have seen, we've been present, we've experienced all that God has done, and now we are ready to serve him. And just some things that came to my mind when I think about being present. You got to get out of your own head. You got to stop the what ifs. You got to stop the, you know, should I have done this? Should I have done that? What if I did this? You got to get out of your own head. Anybody with me on that? Because those would drive you nuts. You could do that from here until the time you die, and you're never going to solve any of those things. Just get to a point where you realize it's not about necessarily what you think. You can't change everything. In fact, there's pretty much only one thing that you can change. You might know what that is? You. That's right, yourself. You are the only thing that you change. If you'll just concentrate on changing you, you'll stop getting in your head, because you'll know you're the best person that you can be, and that you may not be where you want to be, but you're not where you used to be, and you're working to where you're going to be. And you got to get out of your head. In fact, you can't change everyone or anything, but you got to change. You got to start at some point changing something. And so if you've got a decision to make, there's a saying, if you're 80% confident in that decision, Move ahead. Get out of your head. If you're 80%, if you're a person that you think I need 100%, you're never going to get there. You're never going to make any changes. You're never going to make any choices. And so you're always going to be in your head. Here's another thing that talks about being present. You need to savor the moment. You know, there's only going to be one first step. And you got to enjoy that. I can remember when, I think it was Hallie. It was Hallie. There's three of them, and they're like a year apart. And so we're sitting in the back room, and Hallie's been up on her feet, you know, walking the sides of the couch. You know, all day she's just been, you know, she'll go from the couch to the footstool, but it's where she can, you know, she can stay hold. She's never let go of anything. And I looked at Kelly, and I said, today's the day she's going to let go. And I don't know why, I just savoring that moment. There's something about just savoring that moment. I didn't want to leave her side because I wanted to experience that moment. I wanted to savor that. And so she was walking down the couch. We had like an L-shaped couch. She's walking down the couch, and I hear her dad come in, and I'm thinking, this is the moment. And so she got to the end of the couch, and she's kind of like this, and she sees dad, and she looks up at him, and he, you know, comes around. She looks up, and she just doesn't even think about it. And takes like three steps, and then realizes, oh my gosh, and down she goes. But you know, if you weren't savoring the moment, you'd have missed it. If you weren't present, if you weren't right there, if you weren't thinking, this is something I need to savor, in a blink of an eye, I'd be gone, because there's only one first step. With Macy, I remember now why I knew it was Hallie. With Macy, Hallie's older, and she's running around, and Macy's crawling around, and Macy's like, I don't know, she's like 7 months old. 6 months, she stood up and scared herself and dropped back down. She didn't try that again for a while. And at 7 months old, Hallie went running by her, and out of the blue, she popped up and went, oh my gosh, and then dropped. But it was that in that moment, you know, she's like, I can catch her. But if you're not savoring the moment, you're going to miss the moment. She walked so early, she learned to walk on her tiptoes. And if you see her today and she's not paying attention, guess how she'll walk? She'll walk on her tiptoes. But those are moments to savor. Those are things that we need to realize are what we need to remember. You know, there's only one time that your child would drive for the first time. And you need to savor those moments. For me, I was getting ready to actually be on a remote assignment, and long story short, it didn't happen, but I'm preparing for that, and I'm teaching my son, who's at the time 15 and a half, how to drive. It's the first time he's behind the wheel. I don't know what I was thinking. I was on the outside of the car, and he's on the inside, and, you know, it was a clutch, and so there's just all kinds of things that went wrong with this, and so he lets out on the clutch and runs right into the wine barrel. But it's one of those moments you just savor. You just remember. And when you're transitioning into something new, you need to savor the moment. Because something from this time in the future you're going to look back on, and it's going to be one of those summarized points in your memory. But right now you need to savor what's going on. When you're at work, you're at work. When you're home, you're home. Be where you are supposed to be all the time, or you'll miss something. In the new beginning, I truly believe this, in the new beginning, you can't afford to be anywhere else but be present. It's so critical. Your habits that you have prior to this, they'll pull you back, they'll weigh you down, and you have to be present to overcome them. And at some point, you got to stop getting ready and make a choice. At some point, you have to stop getting ready and make a choice and act. Today's one of those days. Just my granddaughters, Kelly and I were talking about this. I wish I had been videoing these for this moment. I'd use this for an intro. My granddaughters were trying to, you know, you're young, so you're trying to teach them how to be responsible. You're trying to teach them to listen and obey. So we do different things with their mom. When it came to time when she was in trouble, we couldn't punish her. I mean, it was just almost impossible. Like, most of the time, Ashley would get in trouble when she was tired, and she'd always tell you, I'm not tired. And so we try different things because you don't want to just do what was done to you. You don't want to spank all the time because not everything requires a spanking. And so we tried different things. So we tried time out because that was the big thing. And so we'd put her in a chair in a corner and time out. In like 5 seconds, she'd be asleep. Well, that didn't work. You know, I mean, she didn't learn anything. She just like, I'm going to get in trouble and then I'm going to take a nap. I mean, that doesn't teach anything. And so we then tried to put her in a corner and had her stand. Well, then she would go to sleep standing in the corner. It is possible. And so we just tried all these different things. So with our granddaughters, we've bypassed some of that because they are my daughter's daughters. I mean, they have her same tendencies. And so they think the corner is just a place on the wall where they can put their nose against and their hands out. And it's how we discipline. You know, if you don't want to listen, just go stand against the wall, and we call it a corner. Put your nose against the wall and put your hands out. They will have big biceps. I mean, and so it's gotten to this point now. It's funny because they know I'm going to the wall, and so they'll go, and before they get their nose to the wall, now they'll go, I'm ready to listen. I will listen. I'm ready to listen, and I'm sure they are. Because which one of us, when we get in trouble, isn't ready to listen? But I've started telling them, you've been listening. Because you knew before you ever got there what you did was wrong. So you've been listening. But there's a difference between listening and obeying. And there's a difference between listening and acting. You can listen all day long, and the nation of Israel had listened. They understood the word of God. They understood what God was calling them to do. They understood that all that God had done. They understood everything that God done. But there's a difference just simply between getting ready and acting. And Joshua tells them, I wanted to bring up one verse in 23. It's verse 6. He tells the leaders, be strong and be careful to obey. It's one thing to be strong. It's one thing to listen. It's one thing to understand. It's one thing to do all that. But it's a totally different thing to obey. And so today, just be strong and be sure that you obey. And then he says to the rest of the nation, he says, throw away your gods and yield your hearts to the Lord. And they respond with this statement. Up until now, they had just simply said, we will serve. But in this instance, I think it might hit home because they say, we will serve and we will obey. We will serve and we will obey. In Celebrate Recovery, in AA, it's said like this. It's one day at a time. Because we have a habit of listening, but do we have a habit of acting? Do we have a habit of obeying? And in order to make that a habit, you have to do it one day at a time, one step at a time, one moment at a time. Everything is a process. There was a process that got you to this point. There will be a process that gets you out of here. Even though we have a new beginning, there's a process that gets us out of here. And so we will serve and we will obey. And every process takes time. Every single process takes time. And so you have to decide, are you going to work the process? There's a goal that you're looking forward, but you got to work the process to get to the goal. And in one of the things that I thought about in this scenario, of course, I love the slapstick comedy, as I've said before, you got to be the goal. You got to envision that you are what the goal is. So if you want to be the manager, you got to envision the fact that I am already the manager. And so what do I need to do to be the manager? And the thing that came to my mind is Caddyshack. Yeah, some of you are my age. You beat a ball. If you've never seen the movie, go watch it. But if you envision that you've already sunk the putt, you're going to act a certain way. If you envision you've already reached the goal, you're going to act. It's going to lead you to certain actions in your life, and you're going to do those things. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to reach the goal. You're going to make it to where you're looking for. And so it's simply this idea of you got to stop getting ready. You got to decide, what kind of eggs do you really like? Or are you just going to sway with the wind? Whoever you're with, whatever's going on. You got to get to a point to where you're ready to act, not just to listen. You have to be the goal. When you do that, you're going to find exactly what you're looking for. You do know that you find what you're looking for, right? So if you're a pessimist, what are you going to find? A bunch of pests. Right? Things that bother you, things that don't go right, things that never, nothing ever goes right for me and never will. Because what are you looking for? The things that don't go right. If you're an optimist, what are you going to find? All the good in this world. You're going to find the good in everybody that you meet. You're going to find everything that you're looking for, regardless of what it is that you're looking for. In fact, I've said this before, there are studies out there, scientific studies that say if you go to the grocery store, if you go to the store and you look for, and you go up to the lines and you go, no matter what line I choose, it's going to be the wrong line. Guess what line you're going to choose? The wrong one. I mean, there are studies that say your subconscious, you're looking for indicators to pick the wrong line. Guess what happens if you go, I'm going to find the right line? You're going to get in the line that moves the quickest and gets you out of there the fastest. Why? Because your subconscious will pick out the things that lead to those two results. So you've got to be willing and anxious for what lies ahead. And here's the final thing, and I think a lot of times we miss this, and I think the nation of Israel missed this. You got to be willing to share your story. You got to be willing to share your ups and your downs with your kids. You got to be willing to share the things that you did right, the things that you did wrong, the decisions you made, the decisions you shouldn't have made. You've got to be willing to share your story. Why do I say that? In Joshua chapter 24, verses 25 through 27, Joshua makes this covenant with the people. And he sets up this rock. And he says, this rock will be a witness for us. Why will it be a witness for us? Because we know this day we've made a decision. And if we ever turn away from this decision, that rock will be a reminder. It will let us know that we've turned away from what God has in store for us. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this, so the things had gone as planned for Israel. So we're a few years later. Everything has gone as planned for Israel. And it did so as long as Joshua is alive. And it extended into the entire life of the generation of elders who lived after him. So they could look out over this rock. And they could share and they could understand their experiences, everything that had gone on. They could look at this rock and they understood what that rock stood for. But it only lasted one generation. For after that, the kind of the theme of Judges is, and every person did what was right in their own eyes. You see, when you don't share your experiences, our kids, my kids, Ashley and Brian, they'll tell you, even Andrew now, he's been with us long enough, they'll tell you, you guys are too authentic. I'm going to tell you everything. Why? Because I want you to know my mistakes. I want you to know my past. I want you to know everything I did wrong. I want you to know the things that I think I did right. I want you to know as much about me and all the things that I've done as possible. Why? So that you can move forward. So that you won't make the same mistakes. So that you won't do the same dumb things. We've got to be willing to share our story. We got to be willing to share our experiences. We got to be willing to share everything that we know. But here's another key point to this. The next generation has to be willing to listen. Now, I think that's as much on our part as it is on theirs. Why do I say that? You know the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink? You know that's not totally true? There's this thing in the field called a salt block. And if I take that horse by the salt block enough times, what does salt cause in you? Thirst. So I take that horse by the salt block enough times, it's going to get thirsty. And when I take it to the water, it's going to drink. If your message that you're trying to share with your children, the next generation, if your message isn't palatable to them, they're not going to listen. And if they don't listen, they don't know. And if they don't know, they can't grow. So just because that was the way it was done for you doesn't mean that's the way you do it for them. The message doesn't change, but the delivery should. I've said this before. How many arguments are settled by raising of our voices? Right? None. What attracts more flies? Sugar or vinegar? I'm not saying attract flies. But if you're trying to get your next generation, if you're trying to get your children, if you're trying to attract them to listen and understand and not make your same mistakes, maybe you need to make the message more palatable. So as you begin this new thing that God has for you, you got to realize that something had to die. You had this long, crazy, don't know what's going on middle. But today I choose to move forward and continue in this transition. Father, thank you so much for your love and your grace. Thank you that you're willing to walk us through these type of events, that we know that life is filled with transitions. We know that life is filled with change, and change is inevitable. It's how we deal with the change that makes all the difference in the world. So, Father, may we be willing just to accept that you're moving us forward. Help us to do this in just a practical way. Let's be present in what's going on right now and make the memories that we can share with those behind us, that they can move forward as well. We pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.